Everybody, this is Brother Brandon coming to you live from Fort Smith, Arkansas, with another Fishers and Men Bible study. Good to be here with you today. Sister Debbie, good to see you on this morning. Praise the Lord. I like that song. That song is called Looking for a City by the Chuck Wagon Gang. It's a good song. Very good gospel group. Thought I'd play a little bit of that at the start of the program today. But boy, I tell you what, I had quite a morning. Whoo! My morning started at about 1 o'clock this morning, and I was on the phone for almost 2 hours with a co-worker talking about all the stuff that's going on at work, and my goodness gracious, there is too much going on, I'm telling you what. And I have today off, so it's good. I kind of need some time off. I need a day where I can rest. I'm exhausted. Too much stuff going on. But anyways, good to be here with you today. And hopefully y'all glad to be here too. And I'm getting texts like crazy, but I'm not going to really worry about that. Matter of fact, I'm going to just go ahead and just shut my watch off. There we go. I'm going to leave my phone on just because, it's actually kind of really, really nice to have some music into the mix at the start. The reason why I did that is because I had a brother that suggested to me that I should have an intro of some sort. And I said I would probably play some music at the beginning. And I agree with him because I think, too, a lot of people might tend to get a little bit... I think they might kind of feel bad if they come in late. And so it's kind of good to maybe kind of start a little bit earlier. Maybe play some music. but, you know, just to kind of have people trickle in, you know, that way no one has to miss anything. I think people can kind of get bummed out about missing parts of the broadcast. And I understand where they're coming from. I don't want to anyone be bummed out about that, all right? You can all, I mean, it's best to, you know, anyways. You all get what I'm saying. I'm not very coherent today. I am tired, but I'm on here for you all with my Bible open, and we're going to have a good Bible study today. Amen. Hope you all came expecting a blessing. Anyone who comes watching my programs, I hope that you come expecting a blessing, because God wants to bless you with something, and... all I'm going to say is, if you miss out on it, you'll probably just miss out on something that you may need to hear. But you know what? I always make it available so that if y'all miss it, y'all just go and watch it. So, you know, that way no one has to miss out on a blessing. Amen? Excuse me. All right, announcements. What do we got? Announcements. Oh, yeah. The monthly newsletter I will be sending off to you all. What's today? The 30th? I think what? There's 31 days in July, right? I will either have it sent off tomorrow or I will send it off on Thursday morning. And so... be on the lookout for that. I'll be sending it out again. My assistant is on vacation, so she won't be able to send it out. But she asked me to send it out, so I'm going to send it out. So be on the lookout for that, and hopefully it'll be a blessing to you. By the way, I should tell you guys something. Those newsletters will come to me before they're sent out. Because the only thing I do ask of my assistant, while she does create the newsletters and send them out, they need to be approved by me. And so I try to look at it and make sure everything is good before I send it out, before it gets sent out. So those newsletters have to be approved by me before they get sent out. Now, obviously, there might be some things that I might miss that may not be the greatest things, so let me know. That way I can be on the lookout for it. But for the most part, my assistant is very talented in what she does. Okay? She's very faithful in this area. Very talented. She's more creative than I. So, which is why I put her in charge of that. And I'm glad that we do newsletters because I want people to know what the ministry is up to. And there's prayer requests for you to pray for. There's praises. There's like a poem and stuff that you can read. There's a monthly verse that you can read. The newsletter is meant to be tailored to the month. That's why for July you see red, white, and blue, because July is typically usually associated with what? The 4th of July. So, with that said, I will send them out this August. I will send the one out for August here in a day or two. So be on the lookout for that. Hopefully it's a blessing to you. Hopefully that you guys will take it and share it with others and, you know, be a blessing to others. So that is the only thing that I can think of. I know kids are going back to school. Let's pray for them. I can't believe back to school is already almost here. And, yeah. So, woo! I feel like I've done a lot today. Seems like every Tuesdays I always get a lot. I get a lot done. Anyways, good to be here with you this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 17. Luke 17. And hopefully this won't be as heavy of a topic as last week was. If y'all remember last week, we went through Luke 16 and we talked about hell. And I'll be honest with you, that is not a topic I like talking about. And I have to apologize for being a little bit late this morning. I was on the phone with a coworker, and I just needed to talk to him and try to encourage him and give him some scripture and stuff like that. And guess what? In the middle of the conversation, the phone cuts off. I'm like, and then I end up finding out that my phone decides to go SOS, save our ship mode. It kind of makes me want to go, I was kind of a little upset about that, but not really. But anyways, that's neither here nor there. I kind of figured that was kind of God saying, you know, you got to get on and start doing your video. I'm like, yeah, I probably should. So, it's good to be here with y'all today. Again, sister, it's great to see you. God bless you. Hope you're doing well this morning. Always a joy to see you on the broadcasts. Hopefully you share them with your family. Hopefully they are a blessing to your family. And hopefully your family gets something from it. It brings me joy when people get something from it. And I'm kind of slouching a little bit. And already I'm starting to feel my back kind of popping. Anyways, let's start here. Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 1. If you could turn there with any of your Bibles, that would be great. And let's go ahead and let's start our Bible study for the day. Now, Luke 17, 1. It says, "Then said he unto the disciples, It is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea, then that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespasses against thee seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, Increase our faith." So, that right there is kind of loaded with stuff. Okay, so I kind of want to take this, I kind of want to briefly take it one way, but there's another way I want to take it that I kind of want to dive into. Okay, so Jesus said that it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea, that he should offend one of these little ones. Now, when God says something, God means what he says. He means what he says. And if God means what he says, his word says what it means. Now, I think this verse here is really twofold. Okay? The first fold we'll get into is that you should not do anything to offend a little child. Amen? You shouldn't do anything to offend a little child that believes on Christ. But I also think you shouldn't do anything to offend a brother and sister in Christ. Now you might say, well, Brother Brandon, that don't make sense. What are you talking about? What did Jesus say that we must be like to enter into the kingdom of heaven? Jesus said, ye must be like little children. Didn't he? Ye must be like little children. What does that mean? What it means is, if you take a look at a child, take a look at how great faith that child has. It shows you that that child doesn't just have faith, but, as you said, sister, trusting. Now, let's see, that's not it. I can't type today. Let me just do child. Oh, that's a lot of we don't want that. We just want the New Testament. Come on. Y'all bear with me. Ooh, I can't find it. Anyways, Jesus said that we must be like children. Ooh. Let's see. Can I do this? Nope. We must be like children. Hang on. I gotta do this with two hands now. Sorry, y'all. I'm not... Just bear with me here just for a bit. What? I can't find it. Anyways, okay. I can't find it. I don't know why I'm not finding it, but Jesus said that you must be as a little child. Okay. Now, with that, a little child trusts. A little child has faith. And so, we ought to be careful to not offend brothers and sisters in Christ. And you know what? To prove my point, what does that next verse say? In verse 3, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. So you know that Jesus is making a connection between a little one that is offended to a brother in Christ. And so, we see how this plays out to both a small child, but also plays out to a believer. Child will never try to work for a gift because they're not too proud or self-sufficient. Amen. Amen, sister. Amen. You're right. A child is not puffed up. A child is quite humble. And when they receive a gift, they take it and accept it with gladness and joy. And they're thankful for that gift. To be prideful, to be arrogant, to be prideful and arrogant of salvation is to be not appreciative of that gift. We need to be careful that we don't offend a brother in Christ. Amen. You know, I've been noticing a lot of times that we're seeing an increase of brethren sinning against their own brothers because of contention, because of pride, because of arrogancy, because of selfish, self-willed attitudes, because of the need to be accepted by men. Be careful when you start seeing people rebuking. Be careful when you start seeing brothers or sisters rebuking other brothers and sisters publicly. Because the reason why they do that, they do it because they want to be seen of men. Why do they want to be seen of men? They want to be seen of men because they want to know how godly they are. They want to know, they want to show people how right and godly they are and how wrong everybody else is. Be very careful. And by the way, let me tell you something. You know what Jesus said about those who are seen of men? He said, They already have their reward. Therefore, God's not going to reward them. Why? Because they already have their reward. You know what their reward is? Their reward is the acceptance of man. They're men pleasers. They don't fear. They rather fear man than they would God. So, you might say, well, Brother Brandon, what's the point of all this? The point of all this is you ought to be a child. You ought to be like a child. Not to be a child, but to be like a child. Trusting in Christ. Being humble. You know what the epicenter of Bible Christianity is? It's this. It's denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following Him. That is what Bible Christianity is all about. Taking up your cross. Denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following Christ. Remember, if you want true joy in this world, it's Jesus, others, and yourself. Jesus Christ comes first, then others, and then yourself last. You see, Christ did not come here to please Himself. If Christ didn't come here to please Himself, we ought not to be here to please ourselves. Ourself is last. Jesus comes first, then others, then yourself. Joy. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. No. You want joy? Put Jesus first, then others, and then yourself last. By the way, think about this. What did John the Baptist say? I must decrease so that He increases. You know, for Christ to increase means He gets the preeminence in your life. For you to decrease is to put yourself last and to put Christ first and the needs of others ahead of your own. That is humility. That is being humble. That is what a child does. And by the way, you realize a child is not one to fear man. You take a look at a little child, they will boldly come up to you and they will start talking to you about things whatever. They don't care whether you accept it or not. They might question it, but think about the boldness of a child. How is it a child is bold, but us being grown adults, we're just a bunch of coward wimps? And I'm sorry, I don't mean to be that way, but why are children more bold than adults? Listen, just because you might be older and just because you might have more experience does not make you more wiser than the next person. You can actually have a younger person just as wise, if not more wise, than an older person. The Bible said, what does the Bible say? Let no man despise thy youth. Children are youthful. I tell you what, I'm 34 years old, but I tell you, there are people that come, they come by me and they see me and they think I'm like in my like mid to late 20s. I'm honored by that. I am very quite honored by that. But that's all God. Anyways, that's neither here nor there. I digress. The point I want to make is that children have a boldness about them. I don't know what's going on. It's like as if we start getting older, we start getting more proud, more puffed up. We start to become dumbed down and just acting more cowardly. That shouldn't be that way. We should be bold to speak the truth. And not just bold, but we have to be bold and loving about it. Let's not hit each other over the head and let's not be, we ain't to be hitting each other over the head with truth and shoving it down people's throats. That's not what we're supposed to do. God gave us free will. We ought to extend that free will to others. But we ought to extend that free will in a loving manner. But children are very precious in the sight of God. It's really sad how the love amongst brethren is starting to go cold because of sin and iniquity and pride. But now listen, believer, let me just tell you something. God says that if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. So we're not to correct him and rebuke him. Oh, by the way, can I just say something? When you rebuke a brother, don't rebuke a brother in pride and contention. Rebuke a brother lovingly. As a matter of fact, when you try to confront somebody about what they did is wrong, let them know that you love them and you appreciate them, but there are some things that I have to point out. And then lovingly point out what they did was wrong, give them scripture. And when you point out that which is wrong and you give them scripture, you remind them again and say, listen, I love you and I care for you. I appreciate you. You know? But we have to rebuke and correct in a loving manner. We have to rebuke and correct in a manner that is not going to be contentious and proud and arrogant. We need to be loving about it. You know, I just wanted to say, for those, if for those who are not familiar with the for those who are not familiar with the series I'm working on a contention series, and it's amazing what God's doing with that series. I would really strongly encourage you to check it out if you haven't yet. It's amazing what God's doing with that. But anyways, let's continue on. So, and if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it shall obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him, by and by, when he is come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. So again, it goes back to being humble. A child is humble. A child is not just humble, but a child trusts. A child trusts. Amen. A child trusts. Let's continue on. Verse 11, it says, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go shew thyself unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not ten cleansed, but where are the nine? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. You know, that's interesting. The number 10. There are 10 lepers. 10 is usually a number to show and signify the law and responsibility. And so, 10 of these lepers were cleansed. You know what's interesting? Out of that 10, only one gave God glory. What does that tell you? It tells you that the one leper that gave God glory, this leper humbled himself. Because as you see, that there were 10 that cleansed and 9 were not to be found, but they went before the priests. And they were cleansed. And only one was healed and turned back and gave God glory. Why? Because this leper knew that it was God that healed him. And this particular one was a Samaritan. The Jews didn't like the Samaritans all that well. Now, if I am right, and exactly, shows ye that not too many that are made clean actually serve God. So what does that come to show you? Think about what I just said about contentions and about how people want to be seen of men. The nine showed themselves to the priest, but they went their way. Only one was cleansed and gave God glory. Think about that. Jesus said that the path to life is narrow. Many there will be shall desire to go in, but only a few will actually make it. Wide and broad is the path to destruction, and many there be there that find it. So again, not that only one was saved. That's right. Good point. But what does this come to show you? This comes to show you and goes back to what being a child is. A child trusts. A child has faith. A child is humble. That's right, sister. The ones that think they are justified by their works will not go in. And this leper who gave God glory knew that it was God that did the work. The other nine thought they could be justified by their works to be seen of men, to get praise and glory of man instead of the praise of God. By the way, what did Jesus say about this leper? What did he say? Verse 19. And he said, I am, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. What about the other nine? Yes, sister, that is sad. They ran to the priests. They didn't run to Jesus. Only one went to Jesus. And by the way, Jesus commended that one leper. He said, your faith hath made thee whole. So I got a question today. Are you running to man or are you running to Jesus? Running to man is only wanting to be seen of them and to be fearful of what they do. But running to Jesus means that you don't care what man says, that you'll do what Jesus says. I want you to think about Elisha. The Elisha and Naaman the leper. Elisha sent a servant to Naaman and told Naaman, go dip in the Jordan River 7 times and you'll be made whole. And you realize that Naaman was fighting that. He didn't want to do it. He was fighting it. But you realize eventually he did get up and obey. After a calm rebuke, Naaman went, dipped 7 times in a very dirty river, and guess what? God healed him. Do you got faith today to do what Jesus says? If Jesus says, I want you to go and give that person a tract, if the Holy Ghost tells you to give that person a tract, would you do it? Listen, that's something I struggle with. Yeah, that's right. And then he wanted you to pay for it too. Yeah.
Yep.
But who are you running to today? Are you running to man? Are you running to the government for answers? Or are you running to Jesus? Now, think about this. I want you to actually think about this. Think about this in perspective of the times that we live in. These nine lepers ran to the priest. They ran to man, which man only has a very vague and not a really good answer to life's problems because they don't know everything. But these nine lepers sought man for man's approval and to seek man for their approval and to seek them for answers. But this one leper turned to Jesus, and because of his faith, he was made whole. So the question I have for you is, are you running to the government for answers? Or are you going to run to Christ? Now, listen, I'm not against people, hardworking people, if they're struggling. If hardworking people are struggling and they need assistance, there's nothing wrong with maybe getting a little help with certain things. I don't see an issue with that. Where it becomes an issue is when you start to rely on the government for all of your problems. When you should be relying on Christ. But who are you running to today? Are you running towards Christ? Or are you running towards the government? Or the world? Or are you running towards something other than Christ? Because I'll tell you, when the moment you start running away from Christ onto something else other than Christ, you will fail. And that's when sin will creep in and cause havoc and issues for your life. It will. So I want to encourage you today, run to Christ. Christ has all the issue. He has all the solutions to every issue. What does it mean to run to Christ? It means that you take your Bible, open your Bible, and start reading. Start reading. You want to run to Christ, you open up your Bibles and you start reading. You run to Christ by going in prayer and praying and asking Him to help you. You turn the light on. As Pastor Mike says, you turn the light on, devils will flee. Run to Christ, not to man. Continuing on, verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo here or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And he said unto the disciples, The days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, See here, or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day." You know, I want you guys to be very careful about people saying, "Oh, guess what? I saw Christ." He's there! He's there! He's appearing to them! Really? Show me in scripture where it says he appears to people. You know, I'll tell you what. The only way that Christ will appear to you is through his word. Be careful for those who claim to be Christ and are not. But these are antichrists. You know what's really interesting? Is that even the NIVs and the ESVs and all these other New Age Bibles, you know what it says in the top cover of it? It says Holy Bible. We know those New Age Bibles ain't holy. Actually, you know what? They kind of are holy. Do you know why? Because those Bibles are full of holes. Deep holes that will send people to hell. Maybe there's something to that. Think about that. Those Bibles have more holes than Swiss cheese. And if you've got a Swiss cheese Bible, nope. You know there's an issue with it. Don't get a Swiss cheese Bible. Get yourself a good old King James Bible, crack it open, and start reading. Now listen, I like Swiss cheese. I do like Swiss cheese. But I don't like Swiss cheese Bibles. Because the moment you've got holes in your Bible, the moment you start seeing holes in your Bible, you know it's not going to be a pure word. It's going to be a corrupted word. But boy, I do love me a good Swiss cheese sandwich. I just don't want a Swiss cheese Bible. Wouldn't that be such a great message to preach one of these days? We'll call it the Swiss cheese Bibles. Because that's what the New Age Bibles are. They are the Swiss cheese Bibles. There's too many holes. No, that's all right. Anyways, so be careful. The New Bibles say the way salvation is hard, to change it from narrow to hard work salvation. Yep. It's a work salvation. Be careful. Be careful on... be careful that we're not being duped on what seems like Christ is there when he's not. Satan will create delusions and illusions to get you to think Christ is in one spot when he's really not. Think about that. Yep. The King James Version is the word in English. Amen to that. Amen. Or is it amen? Is it amen or amen? I don't know. I guess it depends on where you're from. I say amen. Not hey man, but you know what I'm saying. Amen. So Jesus is getting into, be careful about people saying there is Christ and all that. Be careful with that. Because Jesus is telling you that just as lightning lieth out of one part of heaven, shineth unto the other part of under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. What does that mean? In his second coming. Every eye shall see him, even those that pierced him. But continuing on, it says, but first he must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. You know what I think is really interesting? We know that marriage is between a man and a woman, and that's it. Jesus said, in the same manner of the days of Noe, it shall be in our days. People will be marrying, given in marriage. You know, that's not just talking about the bad people. That can be talking about even God's people. But more so, you got in the days of Noe, the wicked people were given in marriage. But you realize that they were given in marriage until Noe entered the ark. Flood came. Noah and his family were spared in the ark, but everybody else was wiped out. Destroyed them. Remember this. Anyone in Christ is a new creature. Christ is our ark. Will you be on the ark today? Because today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. So, verse 27, they did eat, they drank, they married wives. Think about that. They married wives. What does that mean? A man and a woman, whether they were saved or not, married wives. Even back then, they had the sense that a man and a woman is a marriage. Business as usual, pretty much. Yep, business as usual. Okay. Likewise, verse 28, likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. Think about it. Buying and selling. What's going to eventually happen in the future? You won't be able to buy and sell save you have the mark or the number of his name. So you know what it means? You have to sell your soul to this world and pretty much sell your soul to the devil in order to be as business as usual, buying and selling. That day's coming. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus it shall be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life she'll preserve it. I want you to think about something. You know what Jesus says about looking back? He said, those who put their hand to the plow and look back is unfit for the kingdom of God. They're unfit for the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because you're doing this. Can I tell you something? Kind of hard to fight the good fight of faith, and it's kind of hard to run a race with you trying to run forward and you looking back at the same time. You start running while looking back, you're gonna hit a wall or a pole. By the way, when you're looking back and you're trying to run forward, but you're looking back, you don't have a clear visual of where you're going. I want to tell you guys something. I don't normally like telling stories. I really don't, because I don't think really telling random stories is very prof. Why? Wow. I've got a whole bunch. Okay. I don't think it's profitable just to tell random stories. But this one, I think, has some application to something. Back when I was in, I think it was elementary school. One winter, there was a time when I was actually going to go see my mother. And after school, and it was snowing, it was winter, and I was outside playing and stuff. My glasses, and just remembering this kind of brings back some, makes me just want to shiver a little bit. But there was a time, I just thinking about it, just almost reliving the pain of it is just terrible. But there's one winter day at school, I was playing outside on the playground. My glasses were foggy, and I'm running as a kid. And, this gonna be real awkward, but I didn't see where I was going. My glasses were foggy. I hit a pole and chipped my tooth. And you can kind of know what happened next. Now you might say, well, Brandon, what was the point of that? The point of that was, when I was a kid running on the playground with my glasses foggy, couldn't see anything, I ran and hit a pole. Chipped my tooth. I had to go to the dentist to get it looked at before I went to see my mother. Well, Brandon, that's a stupid illustration. Well, no, it's not. You start putting your hand to the plow, start going, and you look back. Man, you might as well just be wearing glasses all foggy. You might as well just be wearing foggy glasses and can't see anything. You know, there's a line where it goes, a clouded mind sees nothing. I think there's some truth to that. Think about the eyes. Think about, like, glasses. Foggy glasses. Clouded glasses. You can't see anything. You can puff yourself up and say, sure I can. I am Superman. I can do whatever I want. You think that's really going to be profitable? No. Truth of the matter is, but let me tell you something else too. What do glasses do? Glasses help you see things. So if you're looking back and you're pushing a plow and you don't have your Bible glasses on, do you think you're going to see clearly? No. See, Jesus is right. If you look back and you push forward, you're unfit. Why? You can't see clearly. That is why I'm telling you these demonstrations. Man, I'm telling you what, it's amazing what God's doing. It's amazing that God is taking my childhood and using it as an example to get to you all, to show you that you ought to be looking forward and that you ought to be looking through a clear lens. The only way you could spiritually have 20/20 vision is through the Old and New Testament. Listen, I'm not trying to be mean, but listen, I just want to encourage you, do not be what I was when I was a kid. Don't be wearing glasses out in the middle of winter, running around when you can't see anything because you're going to hit a pole. You're going to hit a pole. What did I say? If you're running this way and you're looking that way, you're going to hit a brick wall. You're going to hit a pole. You might chip something. You won't break anything. You might chip something. You might be thankful that you chipped something. But just know, don't be running around with foggy glasses. Don't be running around with your mind being foggy. You won't see anything. You won't see clearly. Jesus wants, by the way, how can you fight if you can't see your enemy? You want to fight the good fight of faith. You want to endure hardness. You want to endure the things that come at you. You must look forward. You must be standing still. You must stand firm on the word of God. You must be sober-minded. And you must be able to see clearly. You cannot fight an enemy when your mind is so clouded with the things of this world. You cannot see clearly when you don't have your Bible glasses on. You cannot see clearly when you've got glasses that fog up. Man, I'm loving this. I am loving this. By the way, do you know what happened to Lot's wife? She went forward and looked back. You know why? Because she didn't want to leave Sodom. Why do you think God had to leave Israel in the wilderness for 40 some odd years? Because Israel wanted to go back to Egypt. God took Israel out of Egypt, but Egypt wasn't out of Israel, and God had to basically whip Egypt out of Israel. Don't listen. The Bible says that these things are written for our admonition. Do you know why? Yes, they didn't trust God, but check this out. This is going to be a mind blower. Do you know why Jesus said you're unfit for the kingdom of God? Because if you push forward, but you look back at the world, you just might very well want to go back into the world and not go into the promised land. And by the way, when that happens, you don't trust God. You don't have faith in Him. Listen, why are we talking about being like a child? A child trusts. A child has faith. A child does not look back, but looks forward. Don't be like Israel. Don't complain and murmur to God that you want to go back and be better to go back to Egypt and die in Egypt. That's right. They saw the Red Sea parted and were saved from Pharaoh, but did not trust God to bring them to the promised land. You see, you can come out of the world. It's very possible that you can come out of the world to serve God, but yet still have the world in you. You could come out of the world and the world still be in you. Sometimes that's why we need to get chastised, because God is going to chastise the world out of us. Lord, let me be more of you and less of me. Let me be more like you and less of me. This all goes back to being a child. Do you guys get it? We must be like a little child. We must be full of faith, being able to trust God. You see, all this is coming together. All this is like being like a child. You know what Jesus said? If you offend these little ones, it would be better to have a millstone tied to your neck and tossed into the sea. So that's not just talking about little children. Though that's one absolute path. But it's also talking about God's people. Don't offend them. Whatever you've done unto the least of these my brethren, you've done unto me. That's what Jesus said. And Jesus said, whatever you have not done unto the least of these little ones, you have not done unto me. Be very careful that you have a contention amongst a brother. Be careful for the disputings you might have with a brother and sinning against a brother. Be careful. It is better to be like a child than to be a puff up. Listen, it is better to be like a child than to be a puffed up Pharisee. Mm-hmm. So, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Again, it goes back to Israel. Israel said it would be better if we died in Egypt than here. And you know what that attitude cost them? It cost them their lives in the wilderness. God said, y'all not going to the promised land. Your kids will see it, but you won't. And God had them wandering in the wilderness for 40 years till every single one of them perished. The only two that were able to go in were Caleb and Joshua. Matter of fact, Joshua was the one that led them to the promised land. Amen. Now, I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken, the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken, the other left. And they answered and said unto him, where, Lord? And he said unto them, whithersoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. You know, when we take a look at all of Luke 17, I want to say this in closing. Where are we at? Oh! I'm already at an hour and 9 minutes. I'm telling you what, I'm having so much fun. You know how they say that time flies when you're having fun? I can't believe it's already been an hour already. I can't believe it. Man, I don't know about you all, but I had a really fun time today with this study. I really did. It's amazing what God just can show you through His Word. Really is. And so, listen, I want to say this in closing, okay? We ought to be like little children. Sister, I appreciate that. I really do. God bless you. I hope that you'll share it with people, and hopefully you will share it with your family. Sister, I think your family would greatly benefit from this study. I think your family will benefit from this particular study. But I just want to say this in. I just want to say this in closing, that we ought to be like as little children, full of faith, boldness. Amen. We need to be like children. We need to be like little children. And I'm sorry I came on a little bit late today, but we ought to be like little children. We do. By the way, Jesus said you won't enter into the kingdom of heaven if you won't be as a child. By the way, think about that. That's kind of a requirement. And by the way, how do you actually be like a child? You ought to be born again. What does it mean to be born again? It means that you acknowledge that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, and you repent of your sin, and you turn to Christ, and you ask Him by faith to be your Savior. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Man, I feel like I have a lot of energy. Let's see. If you don't mind, I want to play a song here. I like these hymns. I'm going to start playing hymns because I think it really... I really think that it really... can be very edifying to hear some good godly music. There is a song I want to play called Keep on the Firing Line. I don't know if anyone's ever heard of that song, but we talked about running a race. We talked about being a soldier, enduring hardness. And I think a song like Keep on the Firing Line will encourage you to stand firm, to keep pushing forward and not looking back. Because that's essentially what we're kind of leaving off with, is not looking back, but looking forward, pressing toward the mark of a high calling in Christ Jesus. Amen. So I want to play this song for you today. Keep on the Firing Line. Hopefully it'll be a blessing to you all. But it's I like it. It's a good hymn. Here it goes.
Service will not find.
Amen. You know, I hope that song encourages you. You know, when you listen to that song, it really, really, I hope that you get the sense that it really encourages you to keep on keeping on. When you're stuck in a rut, when Satan is just getting you down, you just got to get back up, dust yourself off, and keep pushing forward. You keep on that firing line. You keep fighting the devil. You keep standing strong. Amen. You keep standing strong. You keep fighting that good fight of faith. And you stand firm on the word of God. And do not let sin make your love go cold towards others. Don't let it. Because I'm telling you right now, there are times right now that the love of brethren are starting to go cold because of pride and arrogance. Because people want to have a God complex. Don't let the God complexers vex you. You stand on that word. You keep on firing on that firing line. You endure hardness like a good soldier. I want that song to be a blessing to you. And you know what? I don't know about you all. I like that song. If you guys are interested in that, that song is Keep on the Firing Line. It's by the Chuck Wagon Gang. That's who it's by. If you're interested. Okay, you could YouTube it. I'm sure it's probably on there. Man, I tell you what. That brother that gave me the idea of having an intro and stuff like that, that was a great idea. Being able to play hymns and stuff like that, I love it. I absolutely love it. But it's got to be good, godly music. None of that worldly trash. We don't need that. So, anyways, it was great to be on here with you today. I've already went through announcements. Let's do some prayer requests real quick. Pray for me. Pray for my ministry. Pray for my assistant. Pray for Kevin Poplin. I know he appreciates your prayers. Pray for Brother Joey. He appreciates your prayers. Sister, I know you're on here. I know you could use some prayer. I know any prayers that people can get. Sister Debbie, I know that you appreciate those who will pray for you. I've been praying for you. And so hopefully, you know, we can get other people to pray for you. That would be a good thing. Amen. So let's pray for one another, okay? I'm telling you, this is a time that we really need to be here for each other. It breaks my heart that you've got those who are called brothers who are so puffed up with pride and so concerned about following man that their love for their own brothers have gone cold. I want you to consider the 10 lepers. 9 of them went to the priests. Only one came back to Jesus. I'm telling you, it breaks my heart that brothers, those who are called brothers, their love for other brothers are cold. That should not be. And I'm telling you right now, Jesus said it would happen. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be cruel or rude. But listen, we need to stop with this contention. We need to stop with this pride. We need to stop with this God complex. We need to stop with all this. We need to humble ourselves. We need to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow Christ. the stuff I'm mentioning, the stuff I've been preaching and teaching on, it's not popular. Some people would like to accuse me of going, some people want to accuse me of being so soft that I'm just as soft like Joel Osteen. That is, nothing can be further than the truth. I'm not like Joel Osteen. Joel Osteen's a heretic. It breaks my heart when people want to accuse me as being as soft as Joel Osteen or some of these other people. Yeah, sister, you're right. Joel Osteen has a man-centered message. But the message I come to bring to you is a Christ-centered message. You know what a Christ-centered message is? It's a gospel message. And not just a gospel message, it's the gospel message. Joel Osteen has a man-centered message. It breaks my heart that people would treat me as if I was as soft as Joel Osteen or some other heretic. Breaks my heart. But people who say ignorant statements like that don't know who I really am. And they don't know how I preach. People who know me know how I preach, know what I preach, and know what I believe. So I'm here to tell you, if you hear anybody say that, well, I'm just as soft as Joel Osteen, you could tell them that they're wrong. Because I only preach the one true gospel that saves. And I will refuse to preach any other gospel that might be floating out there. The only one gospel I will preach is the one that saves, and that is Jesus Christ. Don't confuse simplicity in Christ as being soft. Don't confuse that. Anyways, I don't know why I said it. I don't know why I said that, but perhaps someone might need to hear that. Because people need to know that I'm not a heretic. I'm not. But you know what? If people want to say stuff about me, let them. Because I'll tell you what, they'll give an account for it at the day of judgment. I'm not going to deal with it. I've got bigger fish to fry. I've got other things to focus on. I don't need to be focusing and scrutinizing what every person says about me. I'm not here to coddle pride and ego, and I'm not here for that. If your pride is hurt and your ego is hurt, go somewhere else to where someone can coddle that for you. I ain't doing it. I've got better things to do. This right here. We back? Cool. This right here. King James Bible. The only thing I'm concerned about. Camden. God bless you, sir. I know I'm just about to wrap up, brother, but I'm going to put this on YouTube. So you just got to, you can just go back and watch it if need be. All right, brother? Sister, God bless you. Have a great day, and thank you for tuning in. Also, yes, pray for Camden, if you will. Pray for Camden. He will appreciate your prayers. Camden, I tell you what, I've had quite a morning this morning. Pray for me, bud. Pray for me, brother. I only had about 4 hours of sleep. So much going on. I'll tell you about it privately. So much stuff, man. I'm telling you. But please pray for Camden. He needs your prayers. I tell you what, Camden has a sense of who I am and how I preach and what I believe. Camden will tell you the truth about who I really am. And it's not just Camden. There's other brothers that will tell you the truth of who I am. Camden is just one of many brothers that will tell you the truth. They will tell you the truth of who I really am and how I really believe and how I work. Right, brother? So, anywho, I got to get off because I'm tired. I got to make my bed. I got to go out and get some groceries and I got to get my bills paid. Brother, I appreciate that. You know, I'm greatly encouraged how God puts me on people's hearts. Seriously, I'm encouraged by that. So, but I want to encourage each and every one of you. You stand on that firing line. You keep pushing forward. You endure hardness like a good soldier in Christ. And you keep trucking forward. Devil knocks you down. You get right back up and you dust yourself off and you keep going forward. Remember what we talked about not looking back. Amen. So, listen. I love you guys. God bless you. You guys. Oh, by the way. Before I go, we's got to talk about something here real quick. So, next week, we will get into Luke chapter 18. Luke 18 is next week. Lord willing. Lord willing, on Saturday, I will be preaching the fourth part in my contentions series entitled Why Christ is Not a Contentious Brawler, part 2, and we're going to be looking at the personality of who Christ is through the lens of the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. So that's what we're going to be doing on Saturday, Lord willing. All right? So that's what I wanted to say. If you guys can tune in for that, that would be awesome. But with that said, I love you guys. You guys are the reason why I do what I do. And as Pastor Mike says, think Bible. But I will also tell you, think and do Bible. Amen? So that's what I want to encourage you with. Think and do Bible. You know what? I'll tell you what. I'll say it this way. Do Bible. Do Bible. When in doubt, do Bible. Think Bible as Pastor Mike's. Me, I'm going to say do Bible. So, remember, do Bible. Be a light. Be a fisher of men. Tell the truth. Stand on truth. Amen. With that said, I love you guys. God bless you. You guys have a great, great week. Have a good day in church tomorrow night. And Lord willing, we'll see you all on Saturday. All right? I love you guys. God bless you guys. See ya. Love ya. Bye.